The three G's included gluttony. It's something I mentioned this morning. How many people have ever in your Christian life heard a sermon on gluttony and nobody raised their hands? Because it's something that pastors don't like to talk about, because often pastors have that problem. I had it this week, just yesterday. And so we have to watch ourselves. Gluttony isn't a constant part of my life, but there are days when I get so hungry, like I was yesterday, that I way overdo. I couldn't sleep last night because of it. So gluttony was the first one. And then we started talking about gossip. And not a lot of churches like to talk about gossip because it goes on a lot in the churches. And so we're going to talk about that some more tonight. But before we get started, I want to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, because Jesus is telling us in this section of Scripture that things that we think are small are not small with God. It's just a little sin. Nothing wrong with a little sin. Well, there is. So Matthew 5, 21. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you'll not get out until you've paid the last penny. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." We went to a rummage sale today, or not a rummage sale, I guess it was an estate sale down the other side of Burt. And one of the boxes that they had was a box full of Playboy magazines, old ones. Somebody had a problem with lust and never dealt with it. And the family didn't see any problem with selling it to another generation of people. Folks, we need to be careful with those things because they affect people. I've told people before, when they have those things, don't just get rid of them if you're a Christian. Burn them. Because if you just pass them on to somebody else, they're going to be in trouble. Our Lord says adultery is sin. Fornication, having sex outside of marriage, is sin. But he also says looking at a woman to lust after her beauty is a sin also. And I don't know a single man that doesn't struggle with that from time to time. That's the way we're wired. And that's the flesh. And the flesh wants what it wants. And so we have to go out of our way to struggle against the flesh. So tonight I want to pick up where we left off. We talked about gossip, and we got about halfway through the habit of gossip. Gossip is when you hear something or think something about somebody else, and you start telling other people. Maybe somebody's told you something they want in confidence just between the two of you, but you just can't resist passing that juicy morsel on to somebody else. The Lord says when you do that, that is an extremely offensive thing to Him. Our mouths, as Christians, are only to be used to build others up according to their need. We are not supposed to judge others and criticize others and put them down. And so we need to be careful with this. When God tells us to avoid people that gossip, He's letting us know that even though maybe you're not the one gossiping, if you're listening to that gossip, you're involved in the sin. Maybe you don't speak those things, but you really enjoy hearing those things. Folks, that's sin too. You're taking part in an act that you ought not. I can't tell you how many people that have started to tell me something, and I said, wait a minute. Are you free to say that? Is it something that you ought to say? Because people say all kinds of things that there's nothing I can do about. It does me no good to know about some of this stuff, and I don't want to know about it. If somebody's got a problem, that's between them and the Lord. If they come and talk to me, I'll try to help them with the problem. But I don't want third and fourth and fifth stories. To show you how prevalent gossip is in the church, back when we were at Trinity, this is years ago, this is 40 years ago, I was the head deacon for a while, and everybody wanted to dump their garbage on me. And so I would talk to people, listen to their stories of woe, and at the end of the story, they'd always say, "Now don't tell anybody, because this is something just between the two of us." Well, I started to read, and I read in Matthew 15 that it says we're not to accept those kinds of stories. So I told people, in fact, what the Bible commands in Matthew 15, if somebody comes to you with a complaint about somebody else, the two of you are supposed to go and talk to that person. If you don't want to be involved in that, don't listen to the story. So what I announced in church one Sunday morning, got right up in front of the whole congregation and said, as your head deacon, I want to tell you, from this point on, if you tell me anything about anybody, you and I are going to see that person that very day. You know how many more complaints I got? I didn't get any. It was an amazing, amazing thing. People don't want to confront the problem. They just want to talk about it. They want to let you know what's bothering them. But if you don't want to resolve it, what's the use of telling somebody? Well, it's because that way they can pray about it. If you're already praying about it, my prayer isn't going to make a difference. We need to be very careful in this area because our Heavenly Father tells us in Proverbs 10:19, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. So many things we complain about other people, it's never going to make a difference. Everything doesn't have to be repeated. Some of these things we just keep to ourselves because all they're going to do is create more and more division and more trouble. Sin is not ended by multiplying words. You can talk and talk and talk and talk about the problems, but they're not going to go away. Prayer will make a difference. But talking about it all the time, telling everybody you know what's wrong, isn't going to change a thing. And so what the Lord is saying is, the same thing he's saying here in Proverbs 21:23, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. You need to guard your tongue. You need to let it only speak when God directs you to speak. Most people, anything they know, they tell anybody and everybody about everything. Some things are not meant to be shared. God gives us a lot of guidance in his word how to control our mouths. He also gives a warning when we fail to do so. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, God tells us six things that he hates, seven that are detestable to him. And so I want to read those, but verse 19 says, one who stirs up trouble among brothers is especially offensive. So it says there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And that verse 19 is extremely important. Two different things about gossip. Number one, a witness, a false witness who pours out lies. A lot of the gossip that you hear is simply not true. Right away, we assume it's right. It's not in the notes, but I think it's Proverbs 18:17. It says, the first to speak seems correct, until you ask some questions of the person that's accused. And then you realize it was not correct. Anybody, if it's a one-sided argument, anybody can win. But when you ask the person that they're talking about, everything changes. And so we have to be open to hear both sides of what's going on. One side, this is not fair. I think it's a pretty clear warning if we use our words incorrectly to tear others down, to make a division in families or friendships or churches, God doesn't say he dislikes it. He said he hates it. It's an abomination to the Lord. We need to guard our tongues. So next time you're tempted to participate in gossip of any kind, whether it's speaking it or listening to it on a regular basis, I encourage you to consider three things. Number one, is it my place to share this? And I'll just add a B section on that one. Is it my place to listen to it? Because it will affect the way you think about people. And when you keep hearing negative report after negative report, none of them may be true, but your opinion of that person is going to change. So number one, is it my place to share this? Number two, would I say this out loud if the person I'm talking about were standing right there? If you wouldn't, you probably ought to keep it to yourself. And number three, does this need to be said? And most of the time, the answer is no. What I'm talking about doesn't need to be said. Like I mentioned this morning, if somebody's saying, I've got a gun and I'm going to the school and I'm going to shoot it up, that needs to be reported. You need to tell somebody right away. But there's so much of what we talk about that doesn't need to be said. And you have to be able to discern the difference. There are times when you have to tell somebody. There are times when it's an emergency. Somebody's going to get hurt. You need to speak. But other than those times, most of the time, you don't need it. Ephesians 4:29 is really strong in this area, and I would advise you, memorize this verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Most of the talk that goes on, number one, doesn't help the person you're talking about, and it certainly doesn't help the person you're talking to. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So if the words you're speaking about somebody are not kind and compassionate, don't say it. It's just not worth the problem you're going to create. And the last one I want to talk about, the third G, we got three G's on the board. We had gluttony, gossip, and now taking God's name in vain. I want to tell you, Christians do this all the time, and they don't even think twice about it. This is very important to our Lord. On November 22nd, 1963, maybe the date will jump into your mind, that's the day John F. Kennedy was shot and assassinated. And his last words were reported to have been, "My God, I'm hit." Now, the way he said it may have made it blasphemy against God, or he may have said it the same way our Lord Jesus said it on the cross. On the cross, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, about the 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If John F. Kennedy was saying, "My God, I've been hit," there's no problem. But if he said, "My God, I've been hit," as an exclamation point or a point of fact, not speaking about the Lord, that's blasphemy. Okay, I don't know which it was. I don't think anybody else knows either. So it all depends on how you use God's name. Very important you understand that God has his name and his name is holy. That means it's not to be used in a common, meaningless way. Nothing wrong with saying, oh my God, when you're addressing God himself. Oh my God, my heart is just aching with what's going on. That's perfectly okay. But when you say, oh my God, when your team just won the football game, that is not okay. When you say, oh my God, when you're trying to make a point with somebody about an exclamation of joy or sadness, that is not okay. That's blasphemy. You've got to be careful with that. I talked this morning a little bit that when I go on the internet and people send me text, and even Christians send text, and at the bottom of the text is it's OMG, all capital letters. What is that? That's oh my God. That's an exclamation on something they're talking about, their family or their job, and they just can't help throw it in. Folks, for Christians, if you're using God's name as an exclamation point, that's blasphemy against the Lord. We don't want to get involved in that. When you say those words and you say his name about anything other than to him or about him, it may seem so small to you. It may seem like, remember we talked this morning about the little foxes that ruin the grape vineyards? Because they can't reach the grapes, and so they gnaw the tree or the grapevine and it falls. Do you understand? It's the little sins in our life that we let go that destroy our walk with the Lord, destroys our fruit in the Lord. It may seem like a small thing to you, but it's a huge thing to your God. You bear his name if you're a Christian. You want to handle his name with honor. Because he says, my name is more to me than anything except the scriptures. He cares about his name. You might say something like, well, I didn't mean anything by it. And that's exactly the point. The word vain means with no meaning. That's what it means. If you use it in vain, it has no meaning whatsoever. And so many Christians don't think, and they say all kinds of different ways of saying God's name as either an exclamation point or something other than referring to him. When we write God's name, when we think God's name, we have to use it properly. Because believe it or not, God knows your thoughts. He judges your heart. And when you're taking his name lightly in your heart even, it's sin. We have to get him really move forward on this. To this day, a conservative Jewish person who's a believer in Jehovah God will not say the name Yahweh or Jehovah. They feel it's too holy for them to even speak it. Now, I'm not saying we can't say his name, but what I am saying is we ought to make sure that we're using it properly, because an improper use of his name is important to our God. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So wherever you see the name capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that always is Jehovah or Yahweh God in the Bible. That word is holy to our God. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, God spoke all these words. These are the Ten Commandments, part of them. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And now here it is. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. When we take God's name in vain, it reduces the holiness of his name to something that's trivial. It's just an exclamation point, and it violates the third commandment. Again, Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. In that passage, he gives us both an instruction, what you should not do, and he gives us the outcome if you choose to do it. He says he will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. This is not small to God. This is very, very important. That's why I think it's important for us to grasp God's perspective regarding the severity of the habit of so many, even Christians, of just using his name in a light, offhanded manner. His name is holy. He cares about his name. So I want to give you some examples of what I see many, many Christians doing today that are taking the Lord's name in vain. And most of the time, people don't even know what they're saying and what it means. So the obvious answer, anything you say or do that minimizes God's name is taking his name in vain. The using of the name of God or Jesus is a form of profanity. And I hear it all the time, even among Christians. God damn this and Jesus Christ, but it's not Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ my Lord, it's Jesus Christ as a swear word. We can't do that. And I do hear Christians do it. And it's a serious offense to God. You're witnessing to somebody trying to tell them how to get to heaven, and then they hear you use the Savior's name as a swear word. What are they thinking? This person doesn't know what he's doing, because even non-Christians know you're not supposed to do that. But Christians, some reason, I don't know why. I can remember when I first got saved, I was a swearer. Every other word was a swear word to me. Taking the Lord's name in vain meant nothing to me at all. And the day I got saved, when I heard somebody take the Lord's name in vain, it just offended me right to the roots. And I didn't even know enough. I didn't know, you know, I had heard the Ten Commandments, but I never really thought about it much until I realized that's my Heavenly Father. That's my Lord and Savior they're talking about. And I was offended as well. When you say, I swear to, and you can fill in the blank, when you use God's name as something to swear to, God says that's sin for the Christian. We are not to swear in the name of God. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than that is sin. We need to be careful here. It also relates to euphemism. Now, maybe you don't know what a euphemism is, but if a euphemism is a word that sounds like something, but it's a different word. When you say gee, I don't know if you know it or not, but that's the name Jesus that's just condensed down so that you can say it and not even think about it. When you say gosh, do you understand that's a euphemism for the name of God? And we're not supposed to talk like that. As Christians, we're to be really careful with our speech because the Lord gave us our tongue and our mouth to bring him glory and to bless other people. Any other use than that is twisting what God wants for his children. So what would you say we should avoid saying things that even sound like sin? And the reason we should avoid things that even sound like sin is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Reject every kind of evil. Folks, that's an easy verse to memorize. You could hide that one away in about 3 minutes, I think. Reject every kind of evil. And taking our names, Lord's name in vain is absolutely evil. Whether you're saved or unsaved, it's wrong. When we abbreviate God's name and we use it flippantly, we're taking his name in vain. And OMG at the end of your text is not cute. All your friends may do it, and you may think it's just the cutest little thing. It's not cute to God. You're using his name in a way he never meant it to be used. I believe God wants us to realize today that some of the sins that we have felt over the years are just small and unimportant, like gluttony, like gossiping, and like taking the Lord's name in vain, which I never really meant anything. Although they seem small to us, they're ruining God's vine. Remember Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father's the vine dresser? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he does what? He prunes it. The little foxes of taking the Lord's name in vain, of spreading gossip, of overeating gluttony to the point where it makes you almost sick, those are all little sins, and they don't seem like they'll make any difference, but they do. They make a big difference. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Folks, when you hear what I'm preaching today and tonight, you can make two choices. You can make the choice the children of Israel made when Isaiah and Jeremiah warned them that judgment was coming, and the people said, we don't care what you say, we're going to continue just doing what we've always done. We are not going to change. Or you can make up your mind that you're going to make a change. I'm done with gossip. I'm done with gluttony, and I'm done with taking my Lord's name in vain. Does that mean you'll never slip again? No, it doesn't. You probably will. I did two things this week that weren't, last week, that weren't right. But when I do, I have 1 John 1:9 that I can fall back on. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you see yourself slip and you say something, maybe God's name in vain in some fashion. Right away, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you that. That is not good. That's the point. Don't just continue. Make a change. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I just said or just did. Would you help me to learn to live differently? We don't have to continue in sin. In the book of Proverbs, it says the one that has been repeatedly warned but doesn't change his way is going to be destroyed without any remedy. We have to keep making corrections. None of us are perfect yet, but we ought to be striving to be more and more holy like our Lord. So perhaps you've been tempted, like I was, 2 out of 3. Maybe you got all 3 wrong last week. This week doesn't have to be the same. This week you can stand up and say, I'm going to submit to God. I think it's James 4:7. I'm going to resist the devil, and he has to flee. I'm not going to let the devil push me to say things in gossip that I shouldn't. I'm not going to live in gluttony. I'm going to watch what I eat, not only the amount, but what it is. I'm going to eat differently. Not only that, I'm all done taking my Lord's name in vain. And if I do slip, I'm going to turn right to the Lord and repent, and I'm going to make a difference. Jesus would say to us right now the same thing he said 2,000 years ago. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we're convicted of sin and we feel that conviction of sin, and every Christian does, the Bible says if you can sin and you don't get rebuked by the Lord, you're not a son or daughter. Because every son and daughter that he has, when we sin, he's right there telling us, that is very displeasing to me. And then you've got a choice to make. Are you going to listen to God? You can say, I'm not going to listen to Pastor Jerry. You can get away with that one, okay. But I'm not going to listen to God. You're heading for real trouble. Whom the Lord loves, he judges. So we need to be careful. 1 John 1, verse 8 through 10. Have we got that in there, Dave, or not? We don't. Let me read it to you. This gives me great hope because, like the rest of you, I do fall short from time to time. And when I do, this is the remedy. And when you do, this is the remedy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we may come out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. When you get to the point where you think you're perfect, that's a very dangerous place to be. When a man or a woman thinks they stand, let them take heed lest they fall. Folks, all of us fall short of these things sometimes, but don't let it be a permanent place in your heart or life. It will destroy the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to be on you. In the book of Proverbs, he tells us the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What does that mean? That means your fruit, produced by the Holy Spirit, will lead somebody else to coming to faith in Christ. We need to be very careful how we live. Not as unrighteous, but as righteous. So let's pray. Father, we rejoice in your promises given to us in your word. Father, we all fall short. If not in actual word or deed, surely in thought, we fall short. So, Father, help us to take these warnings seriously. Help us to determine as much as lies in us and as much as we can rely upon you, we're going to live different. We're going to learn how to handle our gluttony. We're going to learn how to handle gossip, whether it's coming at us or coming from us. And we're going to learn not to take your holy name in vain. And Father, we're going to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen.